and go beyond just the familiar reading of this scripture and hearing it over and over and being read in our call to worships in many of our sanctuaries, assemblies, as well as buildings on today. Again, as we open, we ask that you please keep the family, the Green family, in prayer as they had a wonderful celebration, homegoing celebration of a young man, Brother Justin, on yesterday. We want to continue to keep that family, continue to keep Sister Ruby. She is preparing for surgery November the 19th. Keep her on our prayer list, as well as Sister Ruby Clay on December the 10th. She is also preparing for a procedure at that time. We are praying scripture, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. That is where we are in terms of it. When we go to the Lord in prayer, we pray scripture. We stand on the Constitution, which is the manual, which is the Word of God. So we are going to open up with our scripture this morning coming from Psalm. I want to read Psalm 98 in our hearing this morning. And after our psalm, we'll have our prayer by Sister Ruby. Then we will have the reading of our foundational scripture coming from Sister Wanda. And then we will have our praise and worship by Brother Al. Amen. Psalm 98 this morning. And I'm going to read it from the Amplified on today. It reads, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have wrought salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness has he openly shown in the sight of the nations. He has earnestly remembered his mercy and loving kindness, his truth and his faithfulness towards the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have witnessed the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth and sing for joy. Yes, sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the voice of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Together let the hills sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming to judge and rule the earth. With righteousness will he judge and rule the world and the peoples with equity." Yes, we as the people of God, we can sing to the Lord. We can sing a new song, for we know and we have experienced his marvelous deeds in our sight. Good morning. Amen. Psalm 98 in its entirety in our hearing this morning. Sister Ruby.
Deacon Henderson.
Father, God Almighty, we approach your throne of grace and mercy this morning, God, to glorify you and to praise you. For you are the creator of all things, God. You are omniscient, God. You have knowledge of all things going on in this world and in our individual lives. We praise you, God. We praise you, God, because you are omnipresent. Father God, we can be confident. We can rest and be at peace, knowing that you are with us no matter where we are, whether we are in despair mentally or wherever our physical presence, you're there with us, helping us. God, we look to you and we glorify and praise you because you are omnipotent. God, you have all power. There's nothing going on in this world that you can't control. And God, we trust and rely on you. We trust in your sovereignty, God. You rule and super rule over any powers of this world because, God, you created all things at any given time, God. You can intervene. So, Lord, here we are at your throne of grace and mercy, praising you, glorifying you, seeking you, God, because you are the author and you are the finisher of our faith. Heavenly Father, please forgive us of our sins. Please forgive us of falling short, Lord. We mean well, but at times, God, we missed the mark. And we're so grateful that you understand our humanness. And Lord, no, we don't take our humanness for granted. We don't take your grace and mercy for granted. But we just ask, God, will you forgive us and help us? And we're grateful, God, that you have deposited your Holy Spirit into our minds and our hearts to lead us and to guide us into the way of truth. We are grateful, God. We are grateful, God, that you allowed your only begotten Son, Jesus, to die for all of our sins that we may have life and that we may have it more abundantly to the full until it overflows. God, we are grateful that you have blessed us with men and women whom you have called to teach and preach the word. We ask your blessings upon each of them, Lord. We stand in need of a word today. So as we sit at this table and as you speak through our facilitator, Dr. Deborah Singleton, I pray, Lord, that you speak through our mind, that you speak through our vocal cords. I pray, Father God, that you will lead her in the way of truth. And as we sit at this table, we all will receive your word with simplicity and with understanding. And Jesus, we look to you to give us the strength this day and this week as we go along this life journey, because there may be times that we are tested. We realize and understand every moment we wake up, Father God, that we're in a spiritual warfare, but we know, Jesus, that we can accomplish all things through you who give us the strength. Jesus, we're seeking healing and restoration in our bodies, and we know by your stripes we already healed. So we're just walking in healing and wholeness right now. We come right now standing in the gap for the Green family, asking right now that you will strengthen this family, that you will keep this family, Father God, that you will enable them to walk together in peace and love, and to just reminisce on the good memories and the good times that they had with the loved one. Father God, we're standing in the gap for our dear sister, Ruby Dudley, Lord, as she prepares to have her procedure on Tuesday. We're seeking you to calm her spirit. We're seeking you, God, to give her peace. We're seeking you, Lord, to prepare her body for whatever procedure that's going to take place. And we trust, Lord, that you will guide the hands and guide the minds of the surgeon, Lord. And Lord, if robotic surgery is going to take place, Lord, we are trusting that you will guide the minds and guide the hands of the individual who will be putting the coordinates into the computer system to guide that robot. But Lord, we're trusting in you for complete healing and restoration. And we're trusting in you, Lord, that your angels and your Holy Spirit will be in the procedure room guiding everything that goes on. We're trusting that the room and instruments will be sanitized, Lord. And Lord, as our dear sister Ruby Clayton prepares for surgery on December the 10th, we pray, Father God, that you also prepare her body and her mind for that procedure, Lord. And we're trusting that everything will go well, Lord. And God, we just lift to you, everyone that's on this line. Lord, you know each of us because you created each and every one of us. You know our heart's desire. You know our trials and our tribulations. You know what we all stand in need of. So we just come trusting in you, God, to supply everything that we need. We're trusting in your divine protection of our lives against weapons that are formed against us, but we know they will not prosper, Lord. Father God, we're trusting in your word that you tell us that we're not to fear for anything, that we're not to be dismayed because you are our God, that you will strengthen us, that you will help us, that you will uphold us with your righteous right hand. So, Lord, help us to hold on to all your biblical principles. Help us most of all to apply them in our lives. And, Lord, when we are disconnected from this line today and as we go into this world, as we meet people, anoint us with the spirit of discernment to first humble ourselves, to listen to the guidance of your Holy Spirit, to minister and to pour into others what they need, Lord. And most important, Lord, that we will guide them to look at your biblical principle. But, Lord, we know that it takes the Holy Spirit to convict hearts and convict minds, but help us to do what we ought to do. That's to be the disciples, to minister as you have us to. Holy Spirit, have your way on this session. Take control of our minds, our emotions, and give us peace and calmness all throughout this day and this week so that we can walk and be the men and women that you've called us to be. This we ask of you, God, in the powerful and precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Everett, for bringing our opening prayer this morning. It's so good to hear you on the line, and just thank you. Thank you for your service, sir. Amen. Now we are going to have a reading of our scripture this morning, our foundational scripture coming from Psalm 100 by our sister Wanda. Amen.
Amen. Psalms of Thanksgiving, Psalms 100, the New Living Translation. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, my sister, for reading that scripture in our hearing this morning. Amen. Brother Al, praise and worship this morning. We'll be back as we get ready to delve into Psalm 100.
You are my strength.
Yes, Lord.
Strength like no other. Strength like no other reaches to me. You are my strength. Strength like no other. Strength like no other reaches to me. In the fullness of your grace, in the power of your name, you lift me up. You lift me up. In the fullness of your grace, in the power of your name, you lift me up. You lift me up. You are my hope, hope like no other. Hope like no other reaches to me. Unfailing love, stronger than mountains, deeper than oceans, reaches to me. In the fullness of your grace, in the power of your name, you lift me up.
Yes, yes.
You lift me up. In the fullness of your grace, in the power of your name, you lift me up. You lift me up. You are my strength, strength like no other, strength like no other reaches to me. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother Al, that is one of my favorite songs. Amen. Thank you so much for singing it for this morning. It has certainly given me a lift on today. Thank you so much, reminding me where my strength comes from. Amen. Again, we want to welcome you to the gathering place beyond the walls this morning. We are excited about the word that of God that God has given to us in terms of how we as disciples of Christ, how we as citizens of the kingdom, how we as ambassadors are to enter the courts of praise, how we, what the protocol of praise is. And I'm excited about it this morning because as I continue to look and delve into Psalm 100, and as I look at what God says that is required of my praise, what is required of my worship, it causes me to look even more. Am I where God wants me to be? So as we look at Psalms 100, and before I start, I want to thank my sister there in Claremont, Florida, being a part and joining with us on today, Minister Harris. She is with us on today, and I'm just so thankful to have her with us this morning. This morning, as we look at Psalm 100, the first thing I want to say to us about this psalm is that we do not know the author or the context of Psalm 100. But what we do know is, Uncle John, is that it prepares us for worship. As a matter of fact, not only does it prepare us for worship, but it also prepares us for praise. It also prepares us for worship. Worship. When we look at this psalm, it is noted that it is the only psalm where we see the subscription under it that speaks to being a psalm of thanksgiving, a psalm of praise. So what does it do? It tells us, it encourages us that we are to be thankful. I read in our hearing this morning, Psalm 98, that it talks about the marvelous deeds that God has already done. When we go to John 3:16, we see the ultimate that God did for us by sending us his only begotten son that went to Calvary in our place, paying a debt that we owed that we could not pay. It is because of the finished works of Jesus there at Calvary that we are citizens of the kingdom, that we are ambassadors because we have made the Romans 10:9-10 sincere declaration. Not only have we made that first step, but that we are connected to the true vine, John 15. And not only John 15, but we are renewing our minds in the word of God. That's the manual. That's the constitution, the word in our minds. Romans 12:1-2 is being transformed. Our thinking is being transformed from the old man, the man that walked in darkness. Our minds are being transformed. Our thinking is being transformed to walking in the light. Our mind, as Brother Everett was praying this morning, he spoke to aligning our minds, aligning our daily living to the biblical principles and truths of the Word of God. Yes, there are other principles that are out there. There are other things are being said, but if we are going to be the disciples of God, if we are going to be citizens of the kingdom, knowing that our King is the King King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we must align our daily living, our daily thinking to the manual, to the Constitution, to the Word of God. So when we look at this Psalm, Psalm 100, as Sister Wanda read it in our hearing this morning, as I've said, we are not clear. We do not know who the author or the penman is for this Psalm or the context in which it's written in, but it gives us this morning the protocol of praise. So as I begin to look, Sister Minister Janice, at this scripture, at this, and looking at Psalms 100, I noticed some things, and I wondered whether or not you see the same thing that I see. When I look at Psalm 100, Pastor Reggie, I can see a celebration going on. I see an invitation has been issued to me as a disciple of Christ, as a citizen of the kingdom. I see an invitation that has been issued to me, and it is an invitation of celebration. Here's something else I noticed before we delve even deeper into Psalm 100. I noticed that there is a diverse crowd of people that's being invited. There's a diverse crowd. There's a diverse background of various people from various ethnic groups that are invited to come to this celebration. Here's the other thing that I see. I can see in my mind that they are raising their arms. They're raising their hands in surrender as well as in praise. Yes, I don't see one set of ethnic groups. I see various cultures. I see various ethnic groups. I see a diverse crowd being invited to a celebration. I see them with raised hands. And I see them with open arms. I see them being surrendered. I see them being submitted. What else do you see, Minister? I see smiles upon their face. I see smiles, Brother Al. I see a generation of joy that is coming forth, the joy as they reminisce, as they remember, as they move forward as on their journey. I can see smiles on their face. I can see joy. I can see celebrations. I can see them praise, and I can see them in surrender. I can see them submitted. What else do you see, Minister? I see them dancing, Sister Ruby. Can't you see them, you all, when we come to Psalm 100? I can see them dancing, Sister Wanda. I see them smiling. I see them playing their musical instruments. I see them with guitars. I see them with drums. I see them with tambourines. But something else I see them. I see them singing the hymns. I see them praising God. I see them saying joy to the world. I can see them in my mind as I read Psalm 100. Not only do I see something else. I see open gates and I see open doors. I see they're not putting on. I see their praise is real. I see their praise is authentic. I see they're not just going through the motion because the praise team said, get up and put your hands together. I see them praising God. It's not fake. It's real. It's authentic. Because they know the object of their praise is their heavenly Father. I see that, Uncle John, as I was reading this and asking the Holy Spirit to give me a visual. And the visual that the Holy Spirit gave me was, it says that this is not just going through the motions. This is not going through the motions because the praise team say do this or the pastor says do this. But this group here, this diverse group, with diverse backgrounds, raising their hands, opening their arms, going in surrender, praising God, dancing, tambourines being played, guitars being played, the smiles upon their face, the joy that they are experiencing, Brother Everett, when we come to this particular psalm of Psalm 100. What do you see? What do you see in the midst of this celebration, Sister Gloria, Sister JJ? I see there's no grumbling, there's no mumbling, there's no complaining. All it is a celebration. It's a celebration, not that they didn't have any trials, not that they did not have any storm, not that they may not be in a storm, but what do I see when I come to Psalm 100? I see celebration. I see joy. I can hear it in the music. I can see it in the movement of the people. I can see it up on their faces. I see celebration. I see joy. I see peace. So as the psalmist who wrote and penned this, he encourages us, he moves us to a place of praise. Here's something else I see in this psalm. This psalm teaches us about worship. It teaches us about our relationship with God. The one to whom we worship and give all honor and praise. For us to be a part of this praise party, for us to be a part of this, we must have a personal relationship with God. It can't be fake. It can't be something we put on. We put on Sunday, put on Wednesday. But this is an everyday thing that I'm praising God. My walk is one of praise. My daily living is one of praise. So what I glean here from this psalmist, from this penman of this psalmist, is that this psalm teaches us, you and I, about worship. It teaches us about our relationship with God, the one to whom we worship, the one we give honor and we give praise. You must have a relationship, a personal relationship. Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. To be able to do this in Psalm 100, to be able to do this when going through a trial or in a storm or a situation or a circumstance, you must have a personal relationship. You must be born again. Here's the next thing I want to say this morning. To praise God. To praise God. Praise, you all, means to put God in first place. I got a personal relationship with him. Secondly, I have to put God in first place. Praise always turns our attention from ourselves to God. It's remembering and recounting who he is and what he has done instead of wallowing in the mire of self-absorption. Let me say this morning. If we are going to be praisers of the Heavenly Father, we have to put God first. Here's the second thing. Praise is bragging about God instead of us or the idols of this world. It's celebrating who he is and how he relates to his people. Only God is worthy of our worship and our total allegiance. We need to come into his presence with a heart, with a mind, with a body, and soul that acknowledges his presence. Let me say this morning. Praise and worship must be sincere. It is not a performance. If we really respect and love God, we will do what he says. Worship is not just something we do at church. It involves everything that we do. It does no good to go through the right motions, sing the right songs, meet on the right days, and say the right words if we don't really love God in our hearts. We can see people putting on praise and worship and doing this and doing that. But let me say something about praise and worship. Praise puts God first and not put us on the throne to be seen. Praise is bragging about what God is doing and not about what we are doing. Let me go on. Thirdly, as I said, praise and worship must be sincere. It must not be a performance. It must not be something that is done on certain days. Praise and worship, Minister Harris, is who we are as disciples of Christ. Praise and worship. Thankfulness and gratitude must be at the heart of a worshiper. Thankfulness and gratitude must be at the heart of a worshiper. When we come to worship, we can't help but to thank God for who he is and what he has done. We ascribe in praise and worship, we ascribe to him the honor and adoration due him because he is God. Praise and worship, our object of praise and worship is God, not ourselves, not man, not who's in charge of this or who's in charge of that. But the penman here in Psalm 100 points us to the object of our praise. And he points us to how, the protocol of how we are to praise him. Notice this. We acknowledge that Jesus is our Savior and submit to him as Lord. We remind ourselves of who God is, and at the same time, we are reminded of who we are too. He is the Creator, and we are the created. He is the shepherd, and we are the sheep. He is the supreme commander, and we are his people. We are completely dependent on him for everything. In other words, he is God, and we are not. That's what this song points us to, Mother Neal, this morning, that my praise puts God in first place, that my praise is bragging about God, that my praise acknowledges that only God is worthy of our praise and our worship. He's the only one that's worthy of total allegiance. And when I come to praise this morning, we need to come into his presence with a heart, a mind, and a body and soul that acknowledges his presence. Let me say this. When we look at Psalm 100, it is an exhortation to praise. That means we are to lay everything aside that hinders us and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Cheerful, a glad heart, a joyful heart for his greatness and for his power. Some kingdom principles that I walk away as I was observing this particular psalm this morning. Kingdom principles. Acknowledging God as the creator and shepherd of all people. Approaching him with thanksgiving. Worshiping with gladness. And notice something else that I see here in this psalm as we open it up. Uncle John, I see what the posture of my heart should be. Yes, we can Shabbat God, we can Todah, we can do all those other things to God. But notice this, it is important that our heart be in the right place. We can get on our knees, you all. That's a posture. We can kneel down. We can bow down. We can hold our head down. But when we look at Psalm 100, it speaks to us about the posture of our heart. Here's the posture of our heart. Here's what it should be. The posture of our heart when it comes to praise and worship should be one of humility, should be one of obedience, should be one of love, should be one of submission, and should be one of surrender. That's the posture of our heart when it comes to praise and worship. I tell people you can get on your knees, but you can still be standing up in your heart with pride. You can still be standing up in your heart with look at me and look what I have accomplished. But when the psalmist talks to me this morning, speaks to me about coming into a place, entering into his gates with thanksgiving, he's telling me, Deborah, your heart got to be right. Your heart, you got to come with humility. You got to come with obedience. You got to come with love. You got to come in a submitted position. You got to come surrendered. Oh, this psalm that digs deep into us as worshipers. We say we want to be worshipers. We want to be true worshipers. Then we got to understand this is all about being real. This is all about not putting on a performance. This is all about our motives must be aligned to the biblical principles and the truth of the word of God when it comes to praise. When it comes to praise, when it comes to worship, because I'm gonna tell you, if you're a true worshiper, you can't turn it off and turn it on. You can't turn it on Sunday and then turn it off after you leave church. If you're a true worshiper, if you're a true praiser, that is who you are. That is your identity in Christ Jesus. Let's go on this morning. Here's the thing. When we look at praise, praise is not the same thing as worship. It sets the stage for worship. When we praise God, we are ringing the doorbell, making our presence known, letting him know that we have come to see him. When he hears our praise, he gets up and opens the door and invites us to come in. When we go inside, we move from praise to worship. Worship is an audience of one. Worship is being into a place. It doesn't matter what Sister Ruby is doing. Doesn't matter what Mother Neal is doing. Doesn't matter what Mother Cora is doing, because I am targeted. I am laser targeted. I am laser focused in on my personal interaction with God. Well, worship. When we go inside, we move from praise to worship. In other words, praise is the vehicle into God's presence. And worship is what we do once we get into God's presence. Too many times we have put these two words together, having them to mean the same thing, and they do not. Praise, I'll say it again, praise is the vehicle into God's presence. And worship is what we do once we get into God's presence. Our praise creates the atmosphere for an audience with the King. We come before God with thanksgiving and praise on our lips and in our hearts. It is an inside job that shows up on the outside. Throughout Scripture, we see that true worship must include obedience. If you want to worship God, worshiping God, true worship of God, is obeying his word. Too many times we put worshiping, we had a good worship service today because people were high, people were clapping, people were doing this. But let me tell you something. If you want to truly worship God, then you what? You walk in obedience. That's worship. That's worship. This obedience must include God's words concerning the way we treat one another. See, in our teaching you all, I want us to get the practical, get the understanding. How do I walk this out, Minister Deborah? How do I walk out walking in obedience to God and being the highest form of worship? Well, here's how. It's the way in which we treat one another. We cannot honor God when we dishonor his children. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. 1 John 4:20-21. So a part of worship, worship is walking in obedience. How do I walk in obedience? I walk in obedience in terms of how I treat my brothers and my sisters. Let me go on. So when we look, Sister Wanda, in the scripture you read this morning, don't have but five verses in it, but it's power-packed. And let's see if we can unpack it this morning. When we look at this scripture, because we've already looked at how can I be a true worshiper? How can I be a true praiser? Knowing the first thing is I must have a personal relationship with God. I must put God in first place. I must brag about God. The other thing is I got to understand that my worship got to be sincere. It cannot be a performance. I have to understand that it's thankfulness and gratitude got to be put at the heart of a worshiper. And I have to honor and adore God because he's the one that is deserving of the praise, deserving of the worship. I got to understand my posture, my heart's got to be in a posture of humility. My heart's got to be in a posture of obedience. My heart's got to be in a posture of love. My heart has to be in a posture of submission. My heart's got to be in a posture of surrender. So what does Psalm 100 tell us this morning? As a kingdom citizen, as an ambassador of God, as a child of God, Psalm 100 tells me this, that I must embrace the seven commands given to me as a kingdom citizen and be reminded that the Lord reigns, R-E-I-G-N-S, the Lord reigns. No president, no prime minister, no ambassador to this country or that country, no high-ranking officer. It is the Lord that reigns. And when you got my text message last evening, it said our message entitled this morning is, what are we going to do now? Well, what am I going to do now, even in the midst of all the situation in the world? I'm still going to acknowledge that the Lord reigns. I'm still going to put God first. I'm still going to brag on God. I'm still going to tell God thank you. I'm still going to enter his gates with thanksgiving. I'm still going to do what? Serve the Lord. What do we do now as disciples of Christ? We don't moan and groan and shake our heads and wring our hands and say, what are we going to do now? We are going to praise the Lord. We're going to tell him thank you. Let's look at the seven commands, Mother Neal. Seven commands are given to us here in Psalm 100. The first command that is given to us as disciples of Christ, citizens of the kingdom, is that we are to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. A joyful noise unto the Lord. A noise that is authentic. A noise that is real. A noise that truly know who God is. God is saying, this is a time of celebration. Celebrating in the midst of trials, in the midst of the storm, dancing even in the midst while it's raining. That's the first one. The second one is serve the Lord with gladness. That's the second command that we're given in this psalm. The third one is come before his presence with gladness. It said gladness. It didn't say grumbling. It didn't say moaning. It didn't say complaining. But come before his presence with gladness. The fourth one is know that the Lord, he is God. The fifth one is enter his gates with thanksgiving. Number six command is be thankful unto him. And number seven is bless his name. So the penman of this psalm, tells us, gives us, lays out to us what the seven commands are as kingdom citizens. As we walk through Psalm 100, as we walk through life, as we celebrate, as we understand that, as I lift my hands, as I walk with joy, as I amongst other believers from diverse cultures and diverse backgrounds, but all of us got a single focus on who we are serving, and that is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Here's the other thing. The psalm encourages Uncle John. It encourages us for joyful and grateful worship. It emphasizes the universal call for all the earth to praise the Lord. This psalm is classified as a hymn. It may have been sung by worshipers entering the sanctuary. The Jews sang as they were about to enter the temple gates. It declares God's greatness when we look at it, Mother Neal. It declares God's faithfulness when we look at it. It embodies and expresses our gratitude and our delight in God's goodness through singing and praise. It highlights our intimate relationship with the Creator. True praise and worship must begin on the inside. It's a hard job. Our gratitude leads us to praise, and it leads us to obey God's word. And the work of God in our hearts compels us to live in alignment with it. If we want the blessings of God, we must be in line with his biblical principles, his biblical truth. We have to be in line with the Constitution, which is the manual, which is the word of God. We have to see in the word what pleases God. And we walk in that path on what pleases him. Yes, this morning, as we, where the rubber meets the road, when we talk about this gratitude and what gratitude leads us to do. Gratitude leads us to obey God's word. It compels us, Uncle John, to be in line with what God's word says. Y'all know something? I've seen the benefits of walking where God wants me to walk at. And I've seen the consequences that come with walking outside of where God told me not to walk in. So when I look at this psalm, it talks about this intimate relationship with the Creator. This psalm puts an end to chasing the wrong things, chasing after money, chasing after prestige, chasing after possessions in life, thinking that it would give us happiness. Yet at the end of the day, they feel empty. So when I look at this psalm, it pushes me. It pushes me to take my eyes off of all of these things over here. But it teaches me a biblical principle to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When we look at this psalm, the first three verses are called to worship. A call to action. When we look at verses 4 through 5, it gives us the grounds for this call. No, look at verse number 1. It says, do what? It's some action involved here. It's a call to action. It's a call to worship. It's a call to pray. The first thing the psalm tells me is, I'm to shout. I'm to shout. It says, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Shout triumphantly to the Lord, all the earth. Everyone should worship, should praise God. This is an invitation to all people on the earth. It is being extended. The whole earth is summons to shout. That is to sing joyfully to the Lord. It is not only a summons to Israel, but it's a summons to us on this line this morning that we are to shout joyfully to the Lord. We got something to do. We can't just sit back and watch others do it, but we are to be an active participant. This is a call for all of us to be participants in shouting, a participant being a part of giving glory, adoring, giving praise to our Heavenly Father. You have to do something. You don't sit back and watch. You must participate and make a joyful noise, a sound that is produced what? By joy, a sound that is produced by a pure heart, a sound that is being produced by someone who knows who God is, who has experienced an abundant life, and who knows that my Heavenly Father deserves all the praise. You must have that joy in order to make this sound. This sound is a spiritual melody from our hearts. God's temple is thrown open to all mankind. Of course, not the court of the Gentiles merely, but all men alike are invited to say, his we are, and we are his people. That's why I see such a diverse group of people, a diverse crowd, diverse background, coming together, praising God, thanking God, telling God, thank you for your marvelous deeds. Thank you for keeping us. But most of all, thank you for being God. Thank you for being omniscient. Thank you for being omnipresent. Thank you for being El Roi, a God that sees. Thank you for being Jehovah Jireh. Thank you for being Jehovah Shalom. I see them praising God. Those who approach God must approach him with the right attitude and the right motives. We must approach God with unwavering faith, trust, and confidence. Hebrews 11 and 6. This is when we approach God. Approach it with the right attitude. Approach it with the right motives. Approach God with unwavering faith, trust, and confidence, no matter what it looks like. God, I trust you. We must approach God with humility. We must recognize that God is infinite and perfect in every way. We must approach God with reverence and obedience. We must approach God in spirit and truth. John 4:23-24. We must approach God with a joyful noise. The meaning of making a joyful noise to the Lord is that we should praise God and God alone when we worship. We can use our own voices, hymns, and instruments. What matters is that we don't praise God to make ourselves look better or talented. Everything should be for God's greater glory and not for men's glory. We should not worship God with a frown or with little joy or enthusiasm, because we are saying how much we appreciate him for his wonderful blessings. Yes, joy. Joy goes beyond happiness, seeking God rather than our own contentment. That what it tells us is that remember David, you all, in 2 Samuel 6:14, he was dancing. He was wearing a linen ephod, and David was dancing before the Lord with all his might. David's joy is unmistakable when praising the Lord. He was dancing and giving his all to the Lord. This is what praise and worship is about. Not on myself, not whether others are listening, but I am giving glory to my Heavenly Father, that he is the center of my praise, that my praise is God-centered. We must serve God. Notice this, what it says. We must serve God when we go to verse number 2. We've talked about shouting triumphantly to the Lord, all the earth. But then he tells us in this second command, we must serve God with gladness. The word serve has to do you all with total commitment. Total commitment. When I look at this psalm, I see total commitment by the worshiper, by the praiser. I'm not looking whether or not somebody sees me, how high I raise my hand, how I wave my hand, how tears flow down my face, how I'm not doing that. But notice this, the psalmist says we must serve God with gladness. And this word serve has to do with total commitment, meaning God, you got my all. I am all in. I'm not worried about anybody else. I'm not worried about this and that. I am all in. I am totally committed to you, Lord. And when this psalmist wrote this, this is what he was saying. I am totally committed. I'm totally committed to serving you. And to serve you, Lord, you told me that I must serve your people. And I must serve them with love. I must serve them, offering them forgiveness. I must serve them, Lord, with the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23. The psalmist says, to serve. He says, I got to serve the Lord with gladness. Serving God is an act of worship. When we serve him through our actions, giving him our time and serving his people, we are actually worshiping him, Brother Al, with our lives. We read that right there in Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So you see, we must willingly serve God with gladness. Don't think that serving God is burdensome duty, but rather it's a joyful expression of devotion. It's a joyful expression of gratitude. The Bible tells us it should be done with gladness. We don't serve God out of necessity. We should not feel forced to serve him. We should not do it because everyone else is doing it. No, serving God should be done out of a willing heart. And it will show in our attitude. The other thing is, we are to serve him and no one else. We can't have two or three masters. We got to have just him. What does Matthew 6:24 say? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. This part, when it talks about serve the Lord with gladness, that means we must serve him only. That means we are to serve him. When we serve him with gladness, we do not serve out of necessity. We do not serve because we are forced to serve, but we serve him with a willing heart, and that shows us our attitude. Here's the other thing. Whether we are singing, praying, or partaking in the Lord's Supper in memory of the one who died for us, listening to God's word, or giving our blessing to God, we should do so with gladness. Everything we do for the Lord should be done with gladness. Even in our giving of our tithes, giving of our love offerings, what we are doing for others, we are to do it with gladness. This gladness, you all, characterizes our attitude when we worship and our attitude outside of worship. He says, come before him with joyful songs, joyful singing. The psalmist says, we are to come before him with joyful singing. The Lord intends that our singing be jubilant. Joyful singing should permeate our services. And let me tell you, our services are not just done in a building. It is done in our household. It is done in our car. It is done on our jobs. We are taught to sing and make melody in our hearts. True worship comes from the heart. I can't say that enough. True worship will be joyful because it comes from a heart that is full of peace, full of love, and full of forgiveness. It is about your heart. It's a heart thing. And that's why I ask the question, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? We have to understand it is a heart thing. It happens on the inside and shows up on the outside. So true worship comes from the heart. That's how you can be a worshiper. You can be a worshiper at 2 a.m. in the morning. You can be a worshiper at 5 a.m. in the morning because it is about your heart being full of peace. It's about your heart being full of love. It's about your heart, Uncle John, being full of forgiveness. Here's the next thing. The Lord. When he talks about it, he says, acknowledge that the Lord is God. He is the one that made us, and we are his. Notice what the psalmist tells us to do. Who are we to acknowledge? Worship, you all, involves knowing God. Worship involves acknowledging God. Worship involves almost knowing who we worship and who we serve. We need to recognize God as the supreme ruler of this vast university, the creator of all things and the life giver. So the Lord, he acknowledges that the Lord is God, the object of his praise. He then acknowledges that we belong to God and that it is he who made us. The psalmist knew we did not make ourselves. God is the creator. He's the one who formed us out of the dust of the earth and breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. Genesis 2, 18 through 25. The third thing, the third affirmation, we see that we are his people. What does that mean? That points me back to Psalm 23. That we have one that cares for us, that he is our shepherd. We belong. It is he who made us, and he is our owner. We are the people of God. This is what causes for thanksgiving. We are his people by creation and his people by redemption. God has redeemed us by the blood of the Lamb, and he's adopted us into his family because we made the Romans 10, 9, and 10 sincere declaration. And this verse reminds us that God is our good shepherd and that we are his. We are his. And that to me is reason enough for me to praise him. Yes, when I look at God owning us means that he is also our supporter and he is our shepherd. It says it right there. He made us and we are here. I belong to God. I am his. I'm the sheep of his pasture. And God is a good shepherd. He takes care of his sheep. Because God made us, we belong to him, and we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And we know about sheep being vulnerable creatures in the world. We know they don't have claws or fangs to defend themselves. They run slowly. When they fall, they are slow to get up. Sheep are helpless. And this shows us the great dependence that we should have on God. He takes care of us. He provides all of our needs. He protects us from evil. And he loves us with all his being. So isn't that enough to praise him this morning? Isn't that enough to know that I got a good shepherd? I got the shepherd. I got somebody who takes care of me, somebody that loves me, that protects me, provides for me. But notice what the psalmist goes on to say. Since we belong to God, we are much more valuable than anything in this world. We don't just belong to God. We are his children. Notice what the psalmist said. Gratitude is a part of worship. He said, Anna, into his gates with what? Thanksgiving. And his courts with praise. I can see them running, y'all. I can see in my mind, I can see them running. I can see them with joy. I can see them speaking to one another. I can see them, they're not talking about this thing or that thing. All I can see them is talking about, I come to praise the Lord. I come to give God the glory. I know who he is. I got a personal relationship with him. But I know he's the God who created the heaven and the earth. I know he's the God that set the moon and the sun and stars in place. I know because he's the God that made me. Can't you see them running? It's the end of his gates with thanksgiving. And his course with prayer. Wouldn't it be something as we enter into our church buildings, our sanctuaries, our assembly, and the places that we go in, and we would just enter with thanksgiving? Enter into those gates. Say, you know what? I came to praise the Lord today. I came to worship him. I came to give him my very best. Not when we're on the stage. But when we just enter them doors and nobody else is there, and I'm just the Lord, I came to praise the Lord today. I came to give Lord my very best. I don't have to talk about how long my week was because I was praising him through the week. He says, look, enter his gates, Sister Wanda, with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Be thankful. Be thankful to him. And bless his name. So long as we are receivers of mercy, we must be givers of thanks. Mercy permits us, Sister Ruby, to enter his gates. Let us praise that mercy. What better subject for our thoughts in God's own house than the Lord of the house? He's so clear this morning telling us how we are to enter. Giving us the protocol on entering praise. Here's the other thing. Look at the next one. It says, for the Lord is what? Good. I got a reason. I can put a reason to my prayer. I'm not just saying, Lord, I thank you because you got me up this morning. I can put more to it than that. Notice this. For the Lord is good. And his love is eternal. God is good in the absolute sense. In God, there is no evil. He hates evil, and he is without darkness or sin. He's good to us and will not withhold good things from us. Psalms 84 and 11. His goodness should lead us to repentance. Romans 2 and 4. Because God is good and he is good to us, we should also be good to others. I'll say that again. Because God is good and he is good to us, we should also be good to others. Here's the next affirmation. His kindness is everlasting. God is not kind today and evil tomorrow. His kindness is forever and ever. Our last affirmation this morning is this, that Yahweh, our God, is trustworthy. His faithfulness endures to all generations. Let me say that again. His faithfulness endures to all generations. Our God is faithful. He does not fail. He does not disappoint. His faithfulness, as I say, endures to all generations. He is all-powerful and will, without faith, keep his promises to us. Hebrews 13 and 5. Notice what, I'll read it again, Psalm 100, verse 5. And his truth endures to all generations. God cannot tell a lie. He's truthful. Everything he says and does is true. There's no deception in him. In fact, God is the very embodiment of truth. For this reason, whether God promises, whatever God promises, he will deliver. This morning, I pray that you have been blessed as we walk through this song. But what do I walk away with, Sister Janet? How do I apply this to my life? Here's how I'm going to apply it. I'm going to continue to praise the Lord. I'm going to continue to put God in first place. I'm going to continue to brag about God and his marvelous deeds. I'm going to continue to my worship, knowing that my worship and my praise has to be authentic. It has to be sincere. And knowing I want to continue to apply this to my life, I got to continue to have my heart in the right position, in the right posture. That posture of humility, when pride try to sneak in, what I got to say is I got to die to the flesh. I got to die to pride. I got to walk in obedience. That's how I apply it to my life. Walk in obedience when it comes to praise and worship, being a true worshiper. Then I got to love. See, I love God, but I got to love my fellow man. I got to love believers. I got to love unbelievers. I got to align this word here. When it talks about praise, praise is work. Praise is walking in obedience. That means that I got to be willing to carry out Matthew 28:19-20. And then how do I apply it to my life? I got to walk in submission. I got to walk surrendered. I got to say, I am thine, O Lord. You are the potter and I am the clay. This is what this brings out, Psalm 100 brings out for me this morning. And it also lets me know that I can't just stay in my Jerusalem. I got to go to Samaria. I got to go to other cultures. I got to go to other sets of people so that I can let them know. Why do you say that, Minister Deborah? Because he told me in verse number 2, I got to serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. I got to go in places that there's sadness. I got to go in places where there is no joy. I got to go in places where there is chaos. There is no peace. This song calls us to responsibility this morning. I love it. I love to read it. I love it. But there's a greater calling to us. As disciples, citizens of the kingdom, you all, there's a calling of responsibility on the part of us as disciples of Christ. Yes, let us be thankful. Yes, let us acknowledge that the Lord is God. That acknowledgement means knowing without a shadow of a doubt. Knowing, and when I know without a shadow of a doubt, I can go in it. So I pray this morning you receive some kingdom principles, some biblical truth that you can walk in that we pull from this psalm this morning. But again, I'll say it again. This calls for us as disciples of Christ to be totally aligned, our allegiance be totally only to God, and as a worshiper, it's got to be a part of your heart, your mind, your body, and your soul, meaning total self dedicated to God. Good morning.
Amen, 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 amen. Powerful, powerful, powerful. The song just keep coming to my mind, I'm going to trust in the Lord until I die. That was powerful, Minister Singleton, powerful teaching, powerful, because to me it made me really, really think, am I doing what I'm supposed to do? Am I doing everything? Am I going above and beyond of my little bitty things that I do? I need to do more. So I appreciate what you taught me this morning, be more of a servant. Thank you so very much. Thank you so very much. Is there any questions or comments? Anyone?
Namaste, and thank you so much, Dr. Deb. You know, the key ingredients, as you've already told us, to worship is that we have to have peace, love, and forgiveness. That's very important. We have to deflate ourselves like a balloon. We have to make certain that we are empty of all things that would hinder us from praising and worshiping God. That means we have to get all that old stuff out of unforgiveness, get it out and lay it on the line and so that we can seek God even clearer, because God's spirit will not dwell in an unclean place. And we have to find ourselves looking at the man in the mirror sometimes. And sometimes looking at the man in the mirror is not pleasant, but if you really want to be free to truly worship God, you have to sometimes visit those dark spaces in your life that you don't want to visit if you want to be free. Now, if you want to be in bondage that Satan brings about, then go on about your business. But thank you for this lesson. We must have peace, love, and forgiveness. And another thing you shared with us, you told us that our praise has to be authentic. God knows your heart. And we can fool each other, but God knows our heart. We must be authentic. We must be humble. We must be obedient to his word. We must love each other. We must be submissive. We live in a world now that people don't want to submit to nobody but themselves. And we see the condition of this world. But we must learn to submit to the one and only true and living God. I want to share something that happened to me on yesterday. And I attempted to minister. I was able to minister to one. So thank God I was able to minister to one. There was a confrontation yesterday among some young men, and it was involving a young lady. And, I mean, they were carrying on, y'all. One of them had a gun. And when I heard about it, the guy that was confronting the other guy, well, put the gun down. I walked back. But then, as I was walking back, some said, God, let me give you spirit. He's going to take care of yourself. Another young man that was in the confrontation, I pulled him to the side. He came and listened to me. I said, young brother, I said, oh, you see these cameras out here? I said, everything that y'all are doing out here is recorded. I said, do you have any children? He said, yes, sir. I said, well, do you want to get yourself into some legal trouble whereas you may be incarcerated? Do you want your children to have to come see you? They're locked behind bars. I said, no, sir. I said, that's not a pleasant feeling. I said, well, what you doing to get the young brother then? Let us have a conversation. Well, he walked down to where they were. And I proceeded to go there to the crowd. And the other young man said, I don't want to hear it. I don't know who you are, man. You better get away from me. I don't know. I don't want to talk. His mom was trying to talk to him. And I said, you know what? I've done my part. And I just prayed. See, that young man didn't want to submit. See, his pride had him. He got to the point where he don't want to listen to nobody. And we're going to have to always have a posture of humility if we're going to witness to people. Because people know when you're real or not.
Yeah.
And we got to make certain that we submit ourselves totally to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And
yeah.
I assure you, if we were to be humble at all times, people would read you and they'll know that you're true and genuine. Thank you for this lesson, and may God continue to bless and keep you, each of you.
Yes, thank you, Brother Everett. What an awesome testimony and being used by God as a kingdom citizen and as an ambassador for Christ Jesus, because absolutely he provides us what we need when we need it. And what you were doing is trying to diffuse a situation, trying to help them understand you don't want to go down this road. Because this is the way this road looks like, and possibly even worse as the days come. And that's a part of worship. See, too many times, and you bring a good point, too many times we think worship is in that building doing this right here, this. But worship is walking in obedience outside of that assembly, outside of that sanctuary. It's the willingness to walk in obedience, walk in submission, and walk in being surrendered and allowing, here's the other part of worship, is allowing the Holy Spirit to be what Jesus said it would be to us, a comforter, an advocate, a guide, a teacher. So you bring this even more alive this morning as we look at this Psalm 100, that it's more about walking in obedience. It's more about listening to the Holy Spirit. It's more about being outside of the building. It's more about, can I do what God has called me to do and still be praising him? Because guess what? I can still shout triumphantly. And the only way I can be shout triumphantly is I have had to endure to go through something. See, I can't say I got the victory or I won the game if I never played the game. You were part of a situation that you came out triumphantly, and you can lift your arms and say, Lord, I've done what you told me to do. I was guided by the Holy Spirit. You protected me in the situation in terms of trying to defuse it. But always remember, and I'm learning this myself even more, Brother Everett, is that people continue to make choices in their life. But I guarantee you, whatever happens, they will sit back and say, it was a man that risked his life for me not to sit where I might be sitting at right now. I praise God for you, because that's worship. That's praise. It's not just in that building where we have gotten ourselves believing that this is the only place that we can have praise and worship. Oh, no. It's in my everyday life that my praise and worship shows up. When I come into that place with everybody else, that is considered congregational. But, oh, I can have a great congregational praise and worship because I know what I've endured outside of the doors. But thank you so much. That's awesome. That is awesome.
You know, my passion, I hate to see young men go down that road. I know we as men, we don't like when someone's trying to direct us. Seasonal men, we understand it, but the younger men, we've been there. But we live in a different time now, whereas we don't have advocates that now that are go to bat. Because most people that are in profession, not especially lawyer attorney, they want to charge your arm and the leg. But we don't also have the village like we used to when we were coming up. You know, we knew who our neighbors were when we were being raised by our parents. Today, we don't know who our neighbors are. And, you know, it's challenging, but we can see it a mile away, the trouble down the road, just as our parents did. But this generation now, it's just difficult to read it to me. And it really, my heart goes out to them, and we just have to continue to work at it one child at a time. That's all we can do.
Hey, amen. You're so right. Amen. And another part of what you're doing, Brother Everett, is the time that you spend in the prayer closet is making a difference. Because there are others that could have faced that same situation you walked in and not walked out of it. But you are spending time in your prayer closet. Don't ever feel that you are doing what you need to do. Spending that time in the prayer closet and then seeing the rewards of what God will do. I'm kind of sort of like you. I want them to just turn around. Time I tell them, I said, okay, and they simply say, you know what, I'm going to lay my gun down. I'm going to go home. I'm going to start taking care of my children. I'm going to do all the things I need to do. But you got to continue to stay in that prayer closet, Brother Everett, and continue, as you just said, one by one, planting seeds. That's what you are doing. You are a seed planter. God gives the harvest, but you keep planting those seeds. And that's all you need to do, plant those seeds and keep staying in your prayer closet and talking to God and allowing God to speak to you the more on how to help diffuse situations and continue to pray Psalm 91 for you as well. Amen. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being a soldier. Someone else this morning. I hear a male voice this morning.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Everett, for your testimony today and for your intervention by faith with the power of the Holy Spirit working in you. Surely, if you didn't see the immediate reaction, they heard what you said.
Yes.
It permeated his mind, his thoughts.
Yes.
And sometimes in our anger, we don't have rational thoughts, but sometimes it takes somebody to jolt that. Your words jolted that. it was a seed, as Dr. Deb said, and it's planted in his mind. I just pray that God will continue to move in his heart to other things, and other people come along to minister to him in his thoughts and his mind. Dr. Deb, thank you so much for this word today. As I listened to this psalm, as you worked on it, you ministered to it in various ways to us to give us encouragement to be praisers. Those that are obedient, our worship continues. It's continuous throughout the day of our lives. We are always in some form of worship. It's not just, as you said, the lifting of the hands or the expressions that we make. It's in obedience to God that we get to know him. And I thank God for this song because, you know, and I'll just work on this piece, two pieces at verse 3, know that the Lord is God. And to know, you must be familiar with, you just said to Brother Everett, is in the prayer closet. When we get in that time, we get to know him. And we know him by living with him. Amen. We know of people. We know some people's name, but we really don't know them if we didn't spend any time with them. Time with them and walking with him and getting to hear their voice. Hallelujah. Yes. Hear the voice of God. And I just thank God for this psalm. It's so powerful when you think about it. As you were walking through it, and I'll say, in entering his gates, you know, with thanksgiving, you know, so that thanksgiving, we confess. This is the month of Thanksgiving. I guess that's why we have the lesson of Thanksgiving hitting us in the face. We need to be thankful all the time. Even in the midst of the problems that we have, as you said, you encourage us to be thankful. And it's hard sometimes when things aren't going our way to think about giving God thanks and giving him that grateful thanksgiving that we need to give him. That word there is todah, so it's kind of a confession.
That's right.
Lord, you're all of that. God, thank you because you are God. And I know that you are good all the time. Even when I don't feel good, even though things don't look good, you are still good. And I confess that. And I think about entering the course with praise, and that word is Tehillah. That's a song. We
That's
also
right.
have a song. I heard Sister Ruth said she gave her a song in her heart. I know Brother Al gave him a song. I know Uncle John gave him a song. Mother Corey gave us. Everybody on this line, it should have given them a song in their heart to think that God is good. And we know that the Lord is God. And we got to know that we know that we know that the Lord is God. Spending time with him, having that spirit song, that Tehillah, that praise, that hallelujah, that brings him down into our situation, our circumstances, whatever we face, that's the power of that song. You know, I love to praise him. I love to praise his name. So we got to be able to want to praise him in everything that we do. So thank you again, Dr. Dale, for this one. The Lord is good. Amen. And his love endures forever. This is always a powerful psalm, isn't it, Dr. Dale? It's so powerful. It's always powerful. So I thank you for it. I thank you for the ministry of it. I picked up on the words and how you even told us the things that we're told to do in the psalm.
Yes.
Thank you for breaking that down for us. And so I just give God glory. I know some others on the line that may want to say something, share a thought, share a word, but God is good. I just looked at it. I just let it hit me wherever it hit me, and it's so good. So I just thank God. Every day is a new day. Every day is a day of triumph. We are triumphing in every day. We have the victory in Jesus, and we know. I love the way you mentioned the fact of worshiping, you know, presenting ourselves, living sacrifice. We will never forget that. And it came a different way in this last couple of months on that one. So we just thank God that that's who we are. We are living sacrifices. Brother Everett, you were a living sacrifice. Whatever you said, and I just pray, God, that that word that moved inside his body, his mind, his soul, his spirit, we speak by the power of the Holy Spirit. We speak by the power of God, and his word is true, and it will not return unto him void. You spoke some life. And let there be life in those individuals. You didn't hear nothing on the news, so I pray God everything went all right. Glory be to God. Amen. Amen. So God bless the saints on the line. God bless you, Dr. Dev, as you continue to minister to us. And we receive the word of God as it comes through this honorable vessel of the woman of God. God bless you all. And that's my words for today. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Amen. Hey, I hear someone else this morning. Come on.
Amen. Amen. Good morning. God bless all on the
line. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanking you for your words of the meeting full this morning. And I'm taking away, you know, that our praise brings on our worship.
All right now.
And that let me know that, Brother Everett, you have been praising God. So you could go out and you worship him by speaking to the young man. You have praised God, so you know that you could worship him. He was dependable. You could, so you were doing what the Holy Spirit told you to do because of what you had done prior. So that's what we need to do. We need to keep our praise going with between us and God, because we have to know who God is. So that's when our praise is we're praising him. When we are spending time with him, we get to praise him. Then when we go out amongst others, the brethren and the not brethren, the brethren to be, we can worship. We can't worship if we don't have no praise. Our praise comes first, and then we can worship. You know, when you go out, a person go out and they buy a car, they don't worship the car before they get it. They worship it after they get it. So that's after you get the word in you, you can go and worship. Praise God for your word. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Mother Kerr, thank you so much for your words of encouragement. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 5. And what does Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 say to us, Pastor Reggie? It says, you, Brother Everett, you on the line this morning, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. You're salt and you're light, and that's why I praise him, because he loves me enough that he says, I'm going to let you be a reflection of me in this dark world. That's how we move to this prayer, serving the Lord with gladness, being able to shout triumphantly, be able to say I'm more than a conqueror, being able to pray, because let me tell you something, this penman wasn't writing because everything had been well in his life, that he had a great life and he didn't have no situation, he had no troubles, But what he was saying is, he's telling us is, I put God first. I'm bragging on God because he allows me to be a reflection of his light. And that's what you are, Brother Everett. That's what we are, reflections of the light. That's what we are in our praise and our worship. That's why it has to be real. That's why it has to be authentic. That's why it can't be a put-on, a performance.
Yes.
Anyone else this morning? Amen. It comes alive even the more. You know, I've read this psalm hundreds of times, but it comes alive even the more this morning when it speaks to me. What does your worship look like? What does your praise look like when it comes under attack?
Mm.
When it comes under attack, can you still say, I shout triumphantly? I serve the Lord. I acknowledge that the Lord is God. I'm going to enter his gate with faith. When your praise comes under attack, anyone else this morning? Amen. Any other comments? If no other comments this morning, I'm going to go. Uncle John, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm answering the call. I'm present. I'm present. Oh, morning. Minister Devil, you broke it out this morning. Need to give time to let that soak in. Yeah, you broke it out. So let's look at our devotion this morning. Minister Deborah, our song 98, Make a Joyful Noise. Thank you. Our morning prayer, Deacon Henderson, we thank you very much for being on the line with us and your comments. Also, thank you, Mother Corey. Thank you, Pastor Keifel, and all others who are on the line with us this morning. Now, scripture on 100, Sister Wanda, thank you. Wonderful reading. Brother Al, our morning praise and worship song. Thank you very much. But it's question men often ask, what type of praise shall I give God? We go to the gates of the stadium, and the home team can be down, and someone give a signal, say, make some noise.
Yes.
I'll go ballistic. All we're doing is watching millionaires run up and down the field.
Mm.
But that's the type of praise that God wants us to give him. Amen.
Mm.
Amen.
Just read God's word and go ballistic. Amen.
Mm.
Amen.
Mm. We're gonna look yes.
at two verses here. 4 and 5. Enter into his gates. Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And into his coat with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. Mercy is everlasting and his truth endure to all generations. We're going to talk this morning. You can't beat God's giving.
Mm.
You can't beat
yes.
God's giving.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for your giving this morning. Because you give the gifts that keeps on giving.
Mm.
The only thing I can give is to give God the praise for his giving. Do you remember God has always been a giving God.
Mm.
Genesis 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was all upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit moved on God upon the face of the water. And said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so after all his creation was finished. Genesis 1, verse 26. God said, let us make man. Let us make man in our image. Let him have dominion over the fish and of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over the creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God gave man wife, a female. Somebody better listen. That why I tell you this morning, you can't beat God's giving. Because he gave us the gift that keeps on giving. And that's not all he gave. He gave his son, my soul to save and fit it for the sky. That's a gift that keeps on giving. His son gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. That's a gift that keeps on giving. But I heard Paul say this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Now ye are bodies of Christ, and members in particular. I had said some in the church, first apostle, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles. Then the gifts of healing, the gift of helps, gifts of government, and diversity of the tongue. You can't beat God's giving. Or he gives you the gift that keep on giving.
Yes.
He taught us how to love this morning.
Yes.
Love you. One another.
Yes.
That's a gift that keep on giving. That's why I tell you this morning, you best can be given at our heart. You try. For you give. The more he gives to you, you be God's given, no matter how hard. Can't be God's given, no matter how hard you try. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Pastor Reggie, we can't. We cannot be God's given, no matter how we try. And certainly his marvelous deeds and his marvelous giving lends itself to us giving him thanks, telling him thank you. Thank you. Thank you. A part of our worship. That obedience and walking in obedience and telling him thank you.
Mm.
An attitude, a heart of gratitude, a heart of obedience, a heart of faithfulness, a heart of submission, and a heart of surrender. Uncle John, thank you so much. You're so right. We cannot beat God giving. Amen. Amen. Any other comments this morning from our lesson? What an awesome lesson. It's digging deeper, you all, digging deeper beyond what we have heard in the past of Psalm 100, But what the Lord was saying to me is that I got to be put first. And in days to come, and what do? Now I'm still going to praise God. I'm still going to put God and place him first. I'm still going to brag on God. And I'm still, my worship has got to be tuned up a little, tuned up. And that is more just, Lord, it's all about you and not about me, because I'm an ambassador. I'm representing you. I'm a citizen of the kingdom. And us embracing those kingdom principles, you all, the kingdom principles of acknowledging God as the creator and the shepherd of all people, and approaching him with thanksgiving and worshiping him with gladness. Kingdom principles as a kingdom citizen this morning. Amen. Any other comments on today?
Amen. Dr. Deb, I just want to say, Uncle John, as he was talking about people entering an arena, a football arena, I want to have that type of anticipation every day with God.
Mm.
And know that when the noise, the cheers of the crowd, you know, maybe we're just doing it by ourselves, but when we come together, we can cheer for God and praise our God, because he is victorious. And so I just thank him for that. But I see that in my mind, you know, how it is in the arena. But our God is doing some mighty works in the earth. So we should be just as excited about that. So thank you for that. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You're so right. He is. And he's doing those things. He's bringing heaven to earth through us as his disciples. You're right. We're seeing them, and we're going to see even more as we move in our attention from the NBC, ABC, and all these other C's, and turn our focus to God and just be laser focused and be God centered. We will be victorious. We are already victorious, and we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Any other comments this morning? A day of encouragement. Yes, Mother.
I was just thinking, this sounds like Day of Pentecost. And you know how people misjudge things, because this was the first time that the Holy Spirit had come. And people didn't, once they received the Holy Spirit, they didn't act in the norm. That was the difference.
Yeah.
And people didn't understand. First thing they want to say, they drunk and da-da-da-da-da. But this is what happened. The Holy Spirit will cause you to be different.
No.
Why we have to speak up when we don't know why we're speaking up. But it's the Holy Spirit that lives within us, is leading and guiding and directing us. So that's why, Brother Everett, you had to do what you had to do. God will let us know that the time to witness, and the time, it's a time to be silent, it's a time to speak. So we got to be able to hear his voice when he's speaking to us. Move. Do what I tell you to do. Move on, and don't add nothing to it. Don't take nothing away. Now, once you finished, you left. You went on and did what you had to do, and that was it. But see, you could have stood there and then argued and got into something whole way out of hand. But by you being obedient to the Holy Spirit, and by you having had spent time with God, he allowed the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct you to what you had to do. And that's what we have to be mindful, that we're not in leadership, that the Holy Spirit was sent to lead, guide, and direct us. And we have to obey and give in to the Holy Spirit. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, Mother Cora. The presence of the Holy Spirit, the fire that is set, that we are set on, the fire of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, And I can see, the, as you say, the fire of the Holy Ghost in Psalm 100. The fire, the stirring, the celebration.
Right.
And it was all about God and nobody else. All about him. The joy, the dancing, the smiles, the raising of the hands. And as you were talking, Pastor Reggie, of those Hebrew praise words of Todah, Shabbat, all of those, can't you just see it? And they're just praising God. They're dancing. Tambourines are being played. Guitars being played. I can see Psalm 150. I can see it said, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I can see them giving testimony. I can see them looking at one another just giving testimony, saying the Lord is good. And I can see someone say, how do you know he's good? And they'll say, I'm going to tell you he's good because of his marvelous deeds. I tell you that he's good because of the victory that we have seen. Our generations before us, the victory that they saw when God brought them through the Red Sea and how he provided for them in the promised land. How do you know he's good? And I can see them saying, I can see them echoing back to one another and lifting their hand. Brother Al, I can see them say, praise him, praise him. I can see them saying, oh, come, let us adore him. I can just see him, and I can see them acknowledging that, that the Lord is God. I can see them saying, I know he's God. I know he's not a small G. I know he's not a idol God, because I know he's the one that made me. I know he's the one that shaped me. I know he's the one that has given me the gifting that I have, given me the abilities that I have, given me the talents that I have. I know he's the one when I was going through a valley, he's the one that brought me out. I know he was the one that was protecting me. He's the one that was providing for me when I went into my pocket and I came out, didn't have nothing but lint, but yet and still he put food on my table. He made sure that my children had clothes, my children had shoes. Not only that, my mind was being renewed by his word, and he kept telling me that you are my child. He kept telling me that I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. He's the same one that kept his promise. I can see why the psalmist says, shout triumphantly to the Lord, all the earth. I can see why the invitation was extended. And I can't tell you whether everybody accepted it or not, but I have accepted it this morning, because I know without a shadow of a doubt who I serve. I know without a shadow of a doubt who I'm connected to. I know without a shadow of a doubt that I can brag on God of how good he's been. And I can brag on that he is the creator of the heaven and the earth. I can brag on it because I know he knows everything. I know he knows what tomorrow will bring. He knows what yesterday was. And he is not having to wait till tomorrow come to do anything. And I can just see them, y'all. I can just see them just lifting their hand, waving their hands and saying, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for my journey. I thank you for being God. I thank you for being our refuge. I thank you for being our fortress. I can see them. I'm like Uncle John, at a football game, you got grown men, grown people running up and down, praising and hollering for their team. And we get to a place we can't barely open our mouths to tell. I can't help but to tell him thank you. He's been the healer of my body. He's the one that delivered me when I was in, when I was. He brought me out. And I can't help but to tell him thank you. I can't help but to praise him this morning.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I know where I was. Some of us on this line been sick. Some of us on this line have been wondering, how am I going to pay for this? How am I going to, how are we going to get through this? We have had a hit on our income. two people were working. Now one person is working. Or this, you got to, something happened to the roof. You got to have somebody come in and take care of the roof. Something happened to the piping, and you're wondering this and that. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, not only that, you all, but we'll have issues in our bodies, issues with our neighbors. No, whatever it is, this moaning. I have found relief in just reading the word of God. I found healing just reading the promises of God. Situation don't have to change, but he changes me and my perspective. I look at it. I said, Lord, I'm going to still tell you thank you. I'm going to still tell you thank you. I'm going to still praise you. I'm going to still tell them that you are worthy of the praise from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same.
Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah.
You're worthy.
Thank you, Jesus. You're worthy, Lord.
Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you. Amen. Sister Ruby, our announcements for this evening.
Good morning, everyone. Our announcements this afternoon will to be blessed by Sister Mary Whitfield. This is the third Sunday, and she always comes out with a teaching experience. So if you want to hear a good teaching experience, come out and hear Sister Mary Whitfield. We will be back on the line praising our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Have a
blessed day. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. Amen. If there are no other announcements, again, thank all of you for joining with us on today. I pray that you walked away encouraged in your praise, encouraged in your worship, encouraged in terms of serving the Lord and the posture of our hearts and how we are to serve him, how we are to praise him, how we are to worship him, how we are to give him thanks, why we are to give him thanks. I pray today that you have been elevated and your praise and your worship will be too. When you go to that grocery store today, when you go out to eat today, remember, you are who you say you are. You are a praiser and you are a worshiper of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen, amen. Uncle John, I'm going to ask if you would come back, sir, and close us out this morning. Thank you again for your word. Let me give you our one additional scripture I want you to write down and meditate on. I want you to please keep this scripture with you, Micah chapter 6, verse number 8, and it speaks directly to us as to what the Lord requires. What the Lord requires, Micah 6 and 8, and this is one, Sister Ruby, you can add to your refrigerator along with Isaiah 43 and 2, and it says, what does the Lord require?
Mm.
Only to act justly, to love faithfulness, and to walk humbly with your God. That is what the Lord requires.
Mm.
Uncle John.
All right. It's been a wonderful lesson this morning. And when I first looked at it, just 5 verses. So I know Mr. Devil got all of that. So the Spirit, had to wait till the Spirit come. And it gave me.
Yes.
Can't beat. God given.
Yes, yes.
But I had to work from there.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Let
thank
us pray. Oh, Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this hour.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, because you've been so good to us. Sometimes you've been better to us than we've been to ourselves.
All the time.
Sometimes we have become careless and unconcerned about the good. It went our own way. But, oh, Lord, tunnels around before it's everlasting too late. bless the one that's going into surgery on this week. Bless Sister Ruby. Oh, Lord, continue to bless her. But let her know, oh, Lord, that when she get to the table of operation, just to give up, depend on you, and she'll notice that everything will be all right. Oh, Father, bless all these on the line this morning. Not their heart and not their mind, but we can all receive your word that the minister Deborah has so wonderfully spoken. And when we go on the last mile of the way, no longer able to call on thy most holy and righteous name, oh, Father, give us a home somewhere in your kingdom. This I do pray in our son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank each of you again for today. And let us continue with an attitude of gratitude to our Heavenly Father. Amen. Look to hear your voices tonight if you're able to come back. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
I pray we all be ready for his return. I pray that we'll be ready to meet him at the gate. I pray we all be ready for his return. Amen. I want to be ready for his return.
Amen.
Amen. That's my goal, Lord, to be ready for your return. Your return.
Amen.